Downtown Reading has had its share of ups and downs, like the heart of many an urban center in this or any region. Plans are in the works to transform Reading's downtown in a big way. We're talking about roughly $200 million being spent on various projects that will change the face of downtown. Let's catch up on what's been happening and what will happen in the near future. Several organizations are involved. Rachel Hatch is with the McConnell Foundation, where she's a program officer for community vitality, and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Give people the quick sketch, if you would, about the McConnell Foundation and what its general realm of work is.
Yeah, the mission of the McConnell Foundation is helping build better communities through philanthropy, and that's a mission that really the organization's been pursuing for about 30 years now, primarily in the North State. A lot of the people who'd be listening to this, so Modoc County, Shasta County, Siskiyou, Trinity, and Tehama counties. And recently we started a new focus area, which is on community vitality, and that's where I joined just about a year ago.
So, but this is not just about Reading vitality then, I gather.
Well, the role that I'm focused on really is, as directed by our board, to look at downtown Reading revitalization. But, you know, you take any square mile or even less than that in the case of Reading's downtown and, you know, pull up the hood and you start to see that there's all these, you know, systems and important societal issues that are at play in any one square mile. So, of course, it's about downtown Reading, but everything's connected.
The plans for downtown seem to be getting bigger all the time. Is that a fair assessment?
Definitely a momentum is building, and I think everyone involved feels like we've been at this tipping point, and it's exciting to see that the capital investment and also just the cohesiveness of the community efforts are really kind of falling in line. I think both of those elements are critical for something to actually constructively move forward.
Rachel, I know the figure $200 million has been used, but it seems like more than half of that is the new Shasta County Courthouse. Where did that $135 million come from?
So that comes from, my understanding is that comes from the state. So it's a county courthouse, but really it was approved in the governor's budget for 2018-2019. And that, of course, is, you know, within the heart of our city, just in downtown Reading. And you think about the types of workers who will be working at that location and the way that that multi-story structure will change the visual landscape of the community. And I think it's going to be a really big thing for downtown.
So there's money coming in from the state, apparently from a couple different funds. There's obviously local money coming from several different places as well. Who are the entities that are working together on downtown? I mean, McConnell Foundation, that's you, obviously, but who else?
So there's all the community-based organizations who have been doing the work for decades. You know, I think of groups like Viva Downtown, our National Main Street organization in downtown Reading, and many others. For some of these more recent projects, which are going to be, you know, get expressed in the built environment through buildings, a few of the key players, obviously the City of Reading, has this commitment to downtown and, you know, recognizes that this is the heart of the city. And so they're very much invested. And then we've also partnered up with K2 Land and Investments, which is a private developer. So it's a kind of an interesting partnership to have a public-private partnership and then also have a philanthropic entity in the mix. And then, of course, for projects like these, we're working with CRDC, which is a community revitalization organization that looks especially at housing and getting more people living downtown.
So it's not just about buildings for public use, but it's also about the places for people to live.
Right. You know, if you look at the downtown core of Reading, we have a jobs to housing ratio of 9-to-1. So you can just picture what that means. You know, people flood into the downtown area during the day for work, and then they leave at night. They head out to the outer perimeter, and it kind of leaves downtown as a bit of a ghost town feel. And so that's one of the top priorities in terms of the McConnell Foundation's view of how we can jumpstart this next wave of revitalization, is really to get more people living downtown. When you see people walking and heading to the restaurants where they actually, you know, live up top and then they just have to walk down below or they walk to other amenities, it really starts to feel like a different sense of place. So that's one of the areas that we're prioritizing early on.
That's a key figure right there. Was that 9-to-1 jobs to housing, the ratio?
Mm-hmm. In the downtown core.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Rachel Hatch is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the McConnell Foundation as the program officer for community vitality. And we are talking about vitalizing downtown Reading through a number of different projects. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Step us back just a bit, if you would, Rachel, and give a broad view and tell people who don't know Reading what the recent years in downtown have been like and why people feel it's necessary for some sprucing up.
You know, it's a community, if you look at the North State, it's a community of about 90,000 people. So I think of it as rural-ish, you know. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's not obviously a technical term, but we have a lot of agriculture that's part of our character here, and people who move here because they like the slower pace of life, or they've grown up here and that's one of the things that they value. And, you know, when you think about downtowns that are thriving, one of the things that you really need is a central core that's going to attract people like kids or grandkids of people who live here who have moved away. And for the last years, we've just been really in sore need in that area. So we have some shining stars, as I think of them, in downtown already. I think of the Cascade Theater, of course, which you all know very well, and others. And this is an opportunity right now in this moment to think about the concerns that people have about public safety in downtown, for instance, or the desire to have more variety of restaurants or destinations, and to really accelerate in that direction.
And it seems like a lot of different efforts. We've talked about all the different groups involved, and I'm going to ask too about the not so long ago designation of a cultural district, whether that fits in with, works into, folds into the redevelopment efforts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this effort was, you know, one of those surprises, I think, to all of us, that when the California Arts Council was mandated by the legislature to designate a set of cultural districts, they said they were going to choose a set that was just the pilot set, so the very first batch. And Reading ended up in the top 14 that were designated as cultural districts in this first round. So what that means is that we are able to partner with some of the state agencies involved, groups like Visit California and Caltrans, and then, of course, our local entities that are cultural institutions here, to be able to better connect the cultural and artistic assets, you know, performing arts, visual arts, the whole range, and to really tell that story a little bit better to people who might think about visiting our area. Shasta County Arts Council is the group that's really taken the lead in that, along with a set of local partners. Year one of that has been focused on really connecting more of the cultural assets that we have, you know, weaving those webs closer and closer together and growing more of the connective tissue, I guess you could say. And we're just now heading into year two, which is telling the story externally to people who might want to visit from Sacramento, from Chico, the Bay Area, and beyond.
All right. As you mentioned, though, too, this is really about making sure that there are people who live downtown as well. And the most recent grant announcement, I noticed, involves money from the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program. So what kinds of housing are we talking about here?
So really, it's housing that's centrally located in the downtown core, close to transportation. We are finding that a lot of people are saying they would love for downtown Reading to be more bikeable and walkable. So that's a key part of this. The housing will be, so picture a mixed-use development, retail and restaurants on the ground floor, four stories total, so three stories of housing up top. And the breakdown of that is about 75% affordable units and 25% market rate. You know, big picture, the McConnell Foundation believes that we need market rate housing in any downtown because you want to have people who have a lot of disposable income and who can really patronize the businesses that are nearby there. And we can't quite get there from here. We need to have a little bit more just housing stock in general to be able to get there. But long term, that's one of the things we're looking at as well.
This is a question I ask every time we talk about affordable housing, is how you can ensure that it will stay affordable over time, given market pressures.
Well, in this case, you know, the terms of the grant help with that because any applicant has to know that the units will remain affordable as defined. In this case, it's defined as between 30 and 60% of area median income. And, you know, right now the state is debating. There's a whole batch of housing bills that are going through the mix to think about mixed income housing developments. So all of that is in flux right now as we look at the way that the state legislature is handling it. But we know that California has a housing crisis, and you can already see, you know, people moving out of the Bay Area to Sacramento, people moving from, you know, all from Portland, I imagine, to communities in Southern Oregon that are perhaps a bit smaller on the scale of Redding. So there's, you know, a real crisis that has to be addressed head on. And efforts like this are a part of that, to keep housing affordable even as investment comes in.
Rachel Hatch is with the McConnell Foundation. We're talking about downtown Redding. I notice on the application for the Affordable Housing and Sustainable Communities Program grant, Redding got a high score on the application. For what?
Wow. Yeah, we were really pleased with this. It was the highest point scoring project of its type in the state. So it was 88 points out of 100, really competitive process. Part of it is because of the way that we were able to bring together housing and transportation. So part of the grant includes completing the connection between Turtle Bay Exploration Park, which is an incredible asset along the Sacramento River, connecting that to downtown using a cycling trail. So you can start to imagine people shifting from only thinking about driving a car to actually it being more viable and pleasurable even to be able to move between parts of downtown. That's a part of it. There's a bike share program that was a part of it, and things like that really help to make the application more competitive because there's a desire to see projects that bring together housing and transportation and kind of move it into the next generation.
There is sort of a certain level of hitting ourselves in the forehead for the things that we haven't done, like it's to like realize that people do like to walk some places, and the more you make them walk or give them places to walk, the more a place can thrive.
Yeah, and it needs to be pleasurable to walk there. That's a big part of it. So one of the things that the city of Redding has just been successful at, and they're just announcing it now, is Urban Greening and Community Forestry grant to be able to plant a whole new batch of downtown street trees and maintain them during the process of establishment. You know, we live in a really hot part of the state, and it's much more pleasant to walk, not just visually, you know, when you see the trees around you, but it's also much more pleasant to be shaded and to have that temperature differential. So that's another thing that's going to happen, which I feel is great as we're opening up sidewalks and laying new bike pathways and all that, to be able to also plan for the trees that are going to make it a pleasant place to be.
We have a call here from Harry in Wairika. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking downtown Redding with Rachel Hatch at the McConnell Foundation. Hi, Harry.
100 miles away, but we still feel your effects up here from your organization. And I just wanted to say thanks from Habitat for your help in the stuff that you're doing here in Siskiyou County, because the Bowles Fire and many other projects. Just thank you so very much for unofficially from Siskiyou Habitat.
All right. Thank you for that, Harry. Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Harry.
Yeah, the Bowles Fire, we should point out, destroyed about 150 homes in weeds, so definitely need some attention for Siskiyou County as well. So the McConnell Foundation, I noticed, it seems to be a bit of a rainmaker. Is that a fair assessment? That it seems, or maybe not even just the McConnell Foundation, but when any money comes in from any entity involved in a project like downtown Redding, it tends to beget other spending, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it makes sense that people want to look for how they can leverage their funds by seeing where there's other investment. So wherever there's that nexus of investment, it attracts attention and interest. And I think in a community like ours, you know, we're in this moment of needing to calibrate for how quickly some of these changes are going to take place in terms of the other investment that might come in. We've been lucky that along with the affordable housing grant, we also were able to land what's called an infill infrastructure grant to build multi-story parking in tandem with this housing development. And that's a smaller grant. It's about $4 million. But, you know, when you think about how quickly additional, even outside investment, may come to our community, planning and planning well for those short, medium, and long-term needs that are going to change is going to be incredibly important. And it's a moving target, but it's worth the thoughtful exercise to try to calibrate to that pace of change.
In terms of, like, when a business talks about not wanting to grow too fast, you want to make sure there's some level of monitoring of what the process is doing?
Yeah, and just being thoughtful to plan for the future. I mean, there are lots of variables when we think about how a community will continue to develop over time. And it's important to look at the patterns of change that have happened in the past and to value that history and learn from it, and then also to look pretty systematically into the future to try to anticipate some of the waves of change that may be coming that could impact the community.
I was going to ask you about whether you have had a chance to learn from the troubles that other communities have engendered in processes like this, though, because when you talk about improving the built environment, it's not the only part of the environment. You're trying to create a total community sense of feel. And I wonder what lessons, or if there are lessons out there to be learned from places that built things and people didn't come.
You know, one of the main things that I really appreciate about being in this role at the McConnell Foundation in that regard is that we also are doing grant making to community-based organizations, which builds capacity. And at the end of the day, community vitality, which is in my job title, community vitality is about community. It's about people. And you can build all of the amazing buildings that you want, but if you don't have the people there, then it's meaningless. There's actually a guy named Ed Glaser who wrote this book called The Triumph of the City, and he really critiques the folly of, I think he describes it as the folly of building-centric urban planning, because it forgets that community is about people. So we're lucky that we have a couple of different tools in the toolkit here at the McConnell Foundation, both the investments in the built environment and that the way that that capital investment can make change, but also grant making to community-based organizations. So an example of that, we recently gave a grant to a group called the Reading Fashion Alliance, who are experimenting with small batch manufacturing.
All right, we talked to them.
A maker space, yeah, so some of your listeners may be familiar with that. And that's really a look at the economy, the future of the economy in an area like ours, and how skills that people maybe aren't learning in school anymore can actually be a viable pathway economically. So
yeah,
that's an example of one of the grants recently.
All right, a whole lot going on in Reading. The McConnell Foundation, one of several organizations involved. Rachel Hatch is the program officer for Community Vitality there. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
My pleasure.